kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I made it another couple of days. It's been 2 days, hasn't it?
Yeah,
God,
yeah.
Damn it. Every week.
It is every week. That's what you signed up for.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I had ice cream, though, so it's okay.
You had ice cream?
I did. Yeah. I don't normally eat ice cream, but Dee got some of those Blue Bunny drumsticks, and I'm a sucker.
Oh, I want ice cream.
I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to put food through the router again. I blew up the last one.
Oh, my Lord. On that note, we have company joining us this week.
Would our company like some ice cream? I can't put it through the router, but I can offer it.
Thank you. You're so kind. I'd love it.
Solomon from Busy Toaster, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening. I should say good morning. We're doing well. I'm doing well.
Well, yeah, it's morning for you. You're, Where are you at? Taiwan?
Yeah, that's right. We're based in, Taiwan, Taipei.
Taipei. Nice.
Yeah. It's 9 p.m. for us.
And it is just 9 a.m. For us here.
So exactly 12 hour difference. You are on the absolute opposite side of the world as us right now.
Yeah, we're just a little bit in the future.
Yeah, I was about to ask, is the future any brighter than today was?
No, literally, it is brighter. It's like nice and sunny here, so you've got a lot to look forward to.
I feel like you're lying to me because they're giving rain here tomorrow.
Yeah, it was cloudy here today. I think they're calling for rain tomorrow. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Well, you offered me ice cream earlier, so I'd like to offer you a little bit of sun. I'll send it to you from the
winter. Hey, where I'm at, we literally have to turn on a sunshine pump just to get any sun around here. So, you know.
A sunshine pump?
Yeah, that's the running gag. We have to pump in the sunshine because we're so far up the earth's ass that we can't even get daylight.
Wait, you guys are in New York? My American geography is kind of sucks.
I'm in Pennsylvania, which is fairly close to New York. It'd be about a 2 hour drive to get to New York for me.
And I'm in Kentucky. We're kind of like the armpit of the U.S.
As long as it's not sweaty, then it's okay.
It is almost summer, so it's a little unruly right now.
Yeah, it's toasty out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
warm.
You were here to talk about your game Geo Rifters. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch. What is Geo Rifters?
Oh, wow. So Geo Rifters is a puzzle adventure platformer. You can play with a friend or up to four players, and it's all about manipulating the terrain. Normally in other platformers, you're always kind of trying to jump gaps or navigate the terrain, but in Geo Rifters, you take control of a group of heroes that have a special way to bend the world around them, to shift the terrain, and you use this to overcome challenges or puzzles in the adventure mode. And in multiplayer, you use it to literally crush your enemies, to destroy them or to sabotage them.
To just screw with people.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the thing that people have been having fun with. You know, you're going to make a jump and then you just move the ground right from underneath them before they hit that jump, and boom, you're in a pit of spikes.
So how many friends do people lose on average playing this game?
I'm not sure yet, but it gets pretty competitive in the office. Well, I say it gets pretty competitive, but they tell me that I'm the one that makes it competitive. So,
what's the story there? How do you make it more competitive there?
Oh, play to win, right? Isn't that what everyone does?
Are pink slips on the line, like in Fast and Furious, where instead of cars are on the line, jobs are on the line?
Jobs are on the line. I think there's an unwritten rule there, yeah, that you might lose your job if you lose. No, I'm kidding. Don't sue me.
That's how to help with turnover in the workplace.
Yeah.
Just tie it to video games.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's all about changing the environment around you. And we have a story in there, you know, making small changes in the world around you can lead to bigger changes, you know, in the environment. And that's the theme that we try and keep in there, that, you know, the characters are learning about themselves, learning about each other, and making these small changes in their lifestyle, in their personality, to help to learn how to overcome their differences and to work together. So there's kind of something there for everybody.
And tell us about some of the characters in the game.
All right. So we have about 7 characters in the game. We have Candy. She is from Sweet Spot, Candy, and she has the ability to pull rows of blocks towards her. That's her special move as to how she manipulates the terrain. We have Chief, who also comes from the same world. And he kind of flips the terrain. It's kind of hard to explain without the visuals. And they both come from Sweet Spot. We have Dr. Schnoz, who comes from Scentland. He has the power to make paths in the terrain. Lex can pull down rows of blocks to crush their opponents, to crush their foes, or to make platforms. Mighty B, the guy with the microphone head, if you've ever played the game, or if you look on our website, on social media, he has the power to push chunks of blocks upwards. So if you are like on a higher plane, he can also crush you. Then we have Cranks. He spins things. He's a spinner. And Robert, who kind of rotates. And he rotates things. He can bring things closer to him. So he's kind of like a plumber. He likes to fix things. So we have 7 characters, each from different worlds. We have 5 kind of different worlds. And these worlds are, we call them bubble worlds. So imagine the planet Earth, and you kind mm-hmm. of inverted it, and you kind of put all the cities in the inside of a bubble.
Ah.
And each of these characters come from their own individual bubble worlds that kind of live side by side with each other. And they kind of know they're there, but they never ever they've never ever been to each other's world. And so the game kind of starts out with these kind of rifts and portals that are opening up, and you don't know why. And so you need to kind of travel into these rifts, to these other worlds, to figure out what's causing this. And as you start to meet these new characters, as you start to complete the levels, you unlock them so you can use them in multiplayer, but you also start to learn more about them and their world.
And it's a pretty big game too. There's what, 30 stages in the game, or 30 worlds in the game that you go through, each with like 8 stages itself?
Oh yeah, that's right. So we have 30 levels, and each level has about 10 stages on average, so that's about 300 stages. And then we have the multiplayer, which multiplayer has 16 levels, and those levels are made up of 5 stages each. If you're playing the game for the first time, depending on your experience level as a gamer, you're looking at about maybe 10 to 15 hours playing by yourself. If you're playing co-op, depending on your synergy with your teammate, you could complete it maybe in the first round, maybe about 4 to 6 hours, depending on both teams' experience levels. So, and you don't have to 100% complete everything. We designed the game in a way that if you're finding something just a little bit more challenging than you would like, you can move on. You know, you could always kind of move on and set your own kind of challenge.
See, I have a problem now.
Go ahead, let me help.
I get into a level and there's crystals there, and I want to make sure I get all of them before I move on. And then there's times where I'll move bricks to a point where I blocked a crystal and I can't get to it. And my only course of action is to quit the game and go back in and start all over. And it hurts my soul because I need to collect all those crystals.
Well, there's a little trick you can do. We have this, we noticed that we've got this thing in there where you can reset. Mm-hmm. So if you hold down, if you're playing on an Xbox and you hold down B. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Sorry, I was looking at my PlayStation controller there for a second. Hold
down. Nope. Can't do this.
Hold down B on the Xbox controller. Or if you're playing with a keyboard and mouse, it should be G or H. Hold down B, and it will reset blocks to their original position. So you can always kind of undo. When you use this ability, there's a longer cooldown. So it's something that you have to use more strategically. You can use it to get yourself out of, you know, situations that you might have cornered yourself into, but you can also use it defensively. You can also use it offensively as well. There's a few tricks you can do to use it to kind of crush your opponents or other enemies that you find in the level. So if you ever find yourself like that, try resetting the blocks around you to see if it can make your life a little bit easier.
I'm an idiot. Does that count as a death or anything, though? Because I know I saw an achievement to beat the game without dying, and there's another thing where I'm like, I got to do this. I gave up on that. I eventually gave up on that after too many deaths on those goddamn red lava bricks. But
if you reset, if you use the reset ability, that doesn't count as dying. When you reset, you're actually literally... It's like control Z, like undoing in like a fart application. You're undoing the actions that you just did. So you don't lose anything. It's just a long cooldown. It's an ability that all the characters have. It takes just a little bit more time to do, just a little bit. And the cooldown is just a little bit longer, but it really does help in some situations. And there's a hot tip for you actually. Whenever you reset blocks, they become intangible for a moment of time, which means you can pass through them. That's a more of a like a pro tip there, right? There's a lot you can do with that.
Is that an intentional mechanic, or was that a glitch that just turned into a feature?
It's intentional. Well, when we first designed it, we were like, oh shit, you can do this, and we looked at it and we kind of looked at each other. It's like, no, that's intentional. Let's keep that. We kept it in the game and we tested it. And we, to be honest, we had a lot of debates internally about, should we keep this? Should people be allowed to do this?
To wield this power.
And we came to the conclusion that, well, you know, it's something that is slightly more an advanced technique. And we wanted to make sure that there was enough there for people who, you know, learn the basics, but wanted a little bit more, who wanted to kind of be able to combo things and do a little bit more in the game. So we kind of left it in there and we thought, okay, let's keep it in there. And so we watched players testing. A lot of players didn't realize they could do it. And then some players who experimented more found it and they were like, and so they tried different tricks. And so we felt, you know what, this is kind of working for the advanced players. Let's keep it in there. Let's keep something in for players who want that end game experience, who have got to a level where they've mastered everything else. Let's give them something else that they can, you know, that they can use. So I think, you know, I think it's an interesting skill, and I would love to see how players use it to break the game or exploit the game. I think it's something that I'm curious to see what people do with it.
Have you had the game on display at like conventions or anything before the world went to shit and watched people? And were you able to see people get hands-on time with the game?
Yes. Yeah. We were fortunate enough that we managed to get to about 3 or 4 shows. So we showed it at Bit Summit in Kyoto in Japan twice. So that was back in 2019 and 2018. And we also showed it at Tokyo Game Show last year. And then we were able to show it at DreamHack Anaheim 2020. That was in Anaheim, America. First time that we showed in the US. And so we've had a lot of people, we've been able to watch a lot of people play hands-on and see, you know, what they do. And we've also shown it at Taipei Game Show Taipei Game Show last year, and we were supposed to show it this year, but the world went to shit, as you said. So it's been really difficult to, you know, get players to play hands-on and watch them play, because I think that's super important, being able to not only let people play it, but to be able to watch them play it live. You get a lot more feedback, and you can talk with the player, you know, to really understand what they were thinking. I think that's very important in game development.
Go ahead. Cole, were you about to say something?
No, I was not. I thought he was about to. I didn't want to interrupt.
No, I thought you were about to say something. We're all going to talk at the same time on the count of three. One.
Oh, sorry, I went too soon, right?
What kind of good feedback did you get from players at these shows?
Oh, wow. We had lots of great feedback. Let me see. What was a good one? I think some of the great feedback that we had was when players played, they gave us some really great feedback about different game modes they'd like to see. they were like, oh man, what if you did this kind of game mode? There was one idea that one player said, gave to us in the States, where he liked the idea of moving things around. And he mentioned that there was this kind of old school kind of puzzle. You know, there's this sliding puzzle where you have to slide a number to a specific location.
Yeah.
It's like a 3x3 tile. Yeah. And he was talking about doing something like that in the game. And he explained it a lot better than I am. And I thought, wow, that's such a great idea for a game mode. So there was that. Some other players mentioned about wanting there to be a little bit more difference in the different characters' kind of attributes, which if you play now, some characters move a little bit slower. Some characters, their special ability, when they move the terrain around, moves a little bit faster than others. So each character has a slight nuance. So that was some interesting feedback we got from players about how they wanted their characters to feel different or look different. There was a few things about the tutorialization that players had, did we get or understand. I think also when we were writing the story as well, helping us to nail down the concise nature of the humor and what we were explaining really helped. Those are the ones that come to my mind just from the top of my head, but there was a whole bunch that we got from players, and it's been super helpful. And we're hoping that as people play, they give us more feedback, because we want to do more updates. We've got some great plans for DLC. So, you know, the more people are playing, the more feedback we get, we really help to, you know, support the game over its lifespan.
You mentioned the humor. I quite enjoyed the humor of the game. I know it's probably going to be divisive for some, but the idea of a butt fly, just, it's hilarious to me.
I'm a child.
What can I say?
Yeah, there's a few things there. We were trying to push the line, but without kind of crossing it. I think for the world of GeoRifters, it was like, you know, how far can we get without going into toilet humor territory?
Yeah.
I mean, we had the discussion about Butterfly when the idea came up, and some people were concerned that maybe that's a bit too extreme. We're like, no, we think that's okay. You know, there's other ways that can be extreme. But
Dick flies. Cole? Yeah. Cole, you want to start drawing?
I mean, act like I haven't already. That would probably be the most mundane fly or dick that I've drawn, to be fair.
Oh, geez.
I have a storied art career.
So you guys have been playing. Have any of you rolled credits yet or anything?
Oh my God, no. I wanna have a talk with whoever's responsible for the timed levels.
Oh, the time attacks. All right.
Okay. Was that you?
No.
Oh, you're gonna pretend it ain't now, ain't you?
Quick, who can you blame?
Somebody's responsible, and I'm about to have a fight with someone.
So how far did you get? What's going on?
Does it tell me what one I'm... No, I don't want to talk about it. I got stuck for a long time on level 3. Because eventually, like, I was in the same boat as Joe, where I was like, gotta get them all. And then the time attack hit, and I'm like, but I gotta get them all. And I can't.
Yeah, if you're going to need a lot of skill to get it all if you want to get it the first time out. But yeah. But I would experiment with some of the sticker upgrades. You know, there's a couple of stickers there that help to increase your speed or increase the amount of blocks you shift at a time. So there's some things that you can really play around with that.
When I saw some of the stickers and realized that they were upgrades, like after the fact, I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. And I sat there for like 4 hours trying to get those before I finally just gave up.
Yeah, the time trials are there for you don't have to get everything. Just let you know, you don't have to get them all. You can get a few and then move on. But of course, if you want to 100% complete the whole game, 100% unlock everything, you know, get everything, then yeah, you're going to need to get all the crystals. But you can definitely kind of progress a little bit, unlock a few upgrades, come back to that time attack, and really, you know, really go for it. And the time attacks, I would say, are good training grounds for you to learn how to, you know, move things quickly in creative ways. And it kind of prepares you for battle arena, for when you're going to, you know, show down with your friends. They're good kind of like solo kind of training grounds for that.
They're also incredibly frustrating, and they make me want to throw a controller.
How many controllers did you break, Cole?
Well, I'm just saying, it takes a lot to not do it, but then I look down and realize that I have an Elite and I can't afford to replace it. So
you can't afford to spackle the wall with the hole that you put in.
Yeah. Well, I like that you think I'm strong enough to throw the controller through the wall.
I'm just saying Elites are heavy. They'll leave a hole.
That is a good point.
What they should create is like a dummy controller, you know, like a fake Elite, like a foam controller that you can have by the side.
That I can just pick up and fling whenever I'm pissed.
Yeah. You know, you get those things where you can kind of squeeze them, you know, for frustration. You need one of those. Yeah.
Oh my God, Cole, I should send you my Rocket League stress ball that I have.
Your Rocket League stress ball?
It's like a 6-inch ball.
I need that for when I'm pissed off at Rocket League.
Apparently now we need a Geo-Rifter stress ball. When's that coming?
Right? There's the kind of merch you didn't think about.
It'll probably be more like a stress cube, right? So something square.
But yes, then it'll have sharp edges and it'll hurt.
No, then you just make a plushie out of it, like the companion cube from Portal.
Okay, yeah. It could look like the chocolate or the lava. Yeah, it could look like the lava.
Oh, the lava would be cool. With little skulls and bones kind of sticking out of it.
It would be cute. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
So, Geo Rifter's plushies. When are those coming?
We always have one good idea to share, and that's it for this one.
Yes, that is our one good idea this episode, Geo Rifter's plushies.
If that really takes off and we're able to do that, I'll send you guys out some for free.
Sweet. Can't wait.
So how about you, Joe? what's your favorite character in the game, or who are you training towards?
I like the original girl. I've gotten so used to her. Was it Candy is her name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I've just gotten so used to her play style and pulling the bricks that I've just gotten most comfortable using her. And in the few times that I would play with my wife on the battle mode, we played like one or two games, and she's like, "I don't want to play this. Why? Because I want to go fishing in Animal Crossing." I was candy in those. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not going to lie. I sat here the other day and was like, I just want to load up Sea of Thieves just to go fishing.
So when is Geo Rifter's getting fishing mode?
Yeah. Okay, it's just a thing.
we'll see if we can make that happen. Get it trending on Twitter.
Use the butt flies as bait.
Geofishers.
Yeah. There's actually an upgrade for Candy where you can make it so that she can pull up and down in vertical. So you could probably figure out a way to make her fish.
There you go.
Yes. I wish I were like good at modding shit, because I would do it.
Mod the hell out of it, right?
Yep.
So what else are you guys playing then? You mentioned Animal Crossing and Sea of Thieves. What else are you playing?
Cole, what are you playing? Well, we'll go with you first.
I've been putting an insane amount of time into the Drake Hollow beta. I am so stupidly excited for Drake Hollow. To be fair, it's from Molasses Flood, and they are one of my favorite developers. The Flame and the Flood is one of my most favorite games ever. They can do no wrong in my eyes. So I was already very excited for Drake Hollow just from having seen one trailer for it. And so then when Joe's like, "Do you want to talk about the beta on the show?" And I'm like, "Fuck yes, I do."
It's hard to convince her sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta pull my arm, you gotta twist my leg, but you know.
She's like, okay. "Don't you have a baseball game instead for me?"
Oh yeah, please. But you know, look, the drakes—they're little, they're adorable, and you feed them crystals, and they get bigger, and then like you make the little toys for them to play with, and like you come back and you're like flying around on your little waypoints, and then there's a little Drake sitting there bouncing on a bouncy ball, and you're just like, oh my god, everything's adorable. <You're> happy. And then the monsters come out and raid your camp, and you're like, ah, everybody's gonna die. You shoot it with a nail gun, problem's over with.
Nice.
Wow.
How about you, Joe? What's in your plate?
I've been putting my time into Minecraft Dungeons. Just picked that up. I'm excited for Shantae, and I just picked up Maneater last night as well. So I'm excited to eat some people, to chew the fuck out of some human beings. What are you playing? What's on your docket lately?
Oh man, I've been playing recently. For some reason, I've been playing Valkyria Chronicles, the original, the OG, the first one. Yeah, it was something I was playing a while back, and I was like, you know what? I never quite completed that, and I liked the idea. I liked the idea of managing in-game characters, and I guess I do that every day. So why not add to that pressure and just manage people when I get home? So I'm playing Valkyria Chronicles, and I'm actually still playing Monster Hunter, Iceborne, and World. I'm actually trying to do a double platinum on that because I found out that recently I am at 92% on both games, the original and the DLC. And I thought, wait a second, can I do a double platinum? Can I time it right?
Wow.
Do a double ding?
That's tough because that game is a grind for on Xbox's achievements. But
oh man, I got two more to go. It's a mission, but I that's my goal in life. Once I've done that, I can retire.
I'm impressed.
Are you more focused on that than GeoRifters? Be honest.
No way. It's impossible. GeoRifters occupies a huge part of our lives. We're always polishing, and we're always figuring out ways to improve. There's a ton of stuff that we're looking at on a daily basis. I got in this morning just before the show. I told you, I was just discussing a few things with my team, and we found a few things that we're like, oh shit, we need to do something about this. So we were kind of brainstorming about solutions. So we got one, problem solved. But we're always looking at ways that we can improve and polish. And you know, we've got a long plan for the game, and we're pretty excited about some of the stuff that's coming.
You mentioned DLC. Anything that you want to talk about or any ideas in mind?
I think keep following our social media. I think we're going to make a few announcements. We will be doing something at the Steam Summer Games Festival. Steam Games Festival. So keep an eye on that. You should see something pop up there. But nothing that we could announce just yet. But we're working on something exciting.
But something is coming. There are plans in the works.
There is, and of course, like you know, if people are playing and they've got suggestions, throw them out to us. You know, we'd love to consider them. You know, we're always open to that kind of stuff.
Your game needs more cats.
cat gifts, huh?
I'm a cat guy. I can't help it.
Who knows? Maybe we can do a cat skin.
There cat you go.
That would be fantastic.
A cat costume for Candy.
Okay, we'll put that on the list.
Look, well, I said we had one good idea for you, not two.
Yeah, you can only use one of them. Yep. Well, we'll skip the plushies. The plushies involves too much investment. A cat skin, that seems more plausible.
Tell your readers to make it trend, make it happen. Do a poll, do a vote.
Well, we'll hold a poll on Twitter. It's like, who wants to buy GeoRifters plushies or who wants a cat skin? And nobody's going to answer. Fuck is he asking us this for? What kind of a poll is this? I think Joe had a stroke. I don't know what to do with him anymore.
Did you guys play on the Xbox One, or did you guys play on the Xbox One X?
I played on the X.
I played on the S.
On the S. All right.
I am out of luck. I have an old school.
Well, we try to make sure that it's running 60 FPS constant on both, so you should still be good. You know, we got some One X enhancements, but we try to make sure that the 60 is there.
Yeah, it ran smooth. I didn't run into any issues in terms of performance.
Yeah, it looks great. I haven't had any issues. Everything has run properly. I'm the first one to bitch if shit crashes or funky or like my goal with every game I review is how can I break it? Yep. So far, so good. Y'all did great.
That's great. That's the one thing I said to the team. I said, as long as it doesn't crash, we're good.
If I break the fuck out of it, you will hear about it.
And she actually tries.
I do.
Yeah, you guys were playing actually on our old build. So hopefully if you update, you know, you're going to see quite a few changes. So please update. Please get that update.
Nice. Yeah. I think mine auto updates, so I'm not sure what version I'm running right now. I was actually playing it while we were talking, by the way.
Oh, then you definitely should have already updated, yeah. So you're good to go.
Yeah, I have mine paused right now. I was playing before the show, too. I like getting a little refresher before interviews. It's always good. So we know what the hell we're talking about. Right? Yes.
1.01.1183 is what I've got.
So. That's correct. That's the one. There'll be another one that drops pretty soon in a few days. So be ready.
Nice.
Can you imagine if we did interviews like interrogations?
but what type of integration? Like Batman-style interrogation or kind of True Detective style?
Cole would come in. She'd be like, now listen, you're going to have to tell us about the game. You're going to have to give us the details. And we want to know, just explain. Give us the sales pitch. And you don't say anything. So I come in. I'm like, give us the fucking sales pitch.
Wait a second. Let's just go ahead and point out here that I am 100% the bad cop. Okay. Oh,
so we're gonna do that again. So Joe, you come in and you're supposed to.
I'll come in and I'll be like, listen, just tell us about the game. We just want the details. I don't want my co-host.
Just tell us about the motherfucking game.
Remember, you gotta have some food. You gotta have some coffee and some
That's
food. You gotta butter me up. And then Joe's gonna, you know, Cole's gonna take it away from me.
I cuss very well, but this voice nobody takes it seriously as a microphone.
Yeah.
Which just makes it all the better, to be fair. Because I'm surprised.
It actually sounds more like good cop, confused cop.
I am permanent.
Bad cop and slightly worse, but still kind of bad cop.
Slightly okay cop.
The moment, see, the problem is that if I were the good cop, then I'd have to offer him some ass water. And then my husband would be like, nope, we got to shut it down. Can't do this.
That's or sweet tea. You can offer him sweet tea.
You want some sweet tea?
Hi, y'all.
Like your husband's going to be my lawyer, actually. I should have him as my lawyer.
My husband would be like, nope, you offered ice. We got to shut it down. You're not doing the show anymore. It's over with.
I see the Dr. Pepper product placement there. Good job.
Oh, yeah.
I have Cole. Dr. Pepper too, but mine's in a mason jar because I'm a redneck.
Yeah, mine's just in a normal ass can. I have my plain old. I'm sad. I can't find the Dr. Pepper with cream soda anywhere.
The last time D was at the store, he bought the last three cases for me.
Lucky.
And I have not seen any more. And I am like rationing that shit.
Yeah, this whole virus thing, it's shutting down all the good sodas. I don't know what to do. I can't find Vanilla Coke. I can't find Mountain Dew Baja Blast. Literal first world problems here.
Yeah.
Literal first world problems. How did the virus situation impact development on the game? Did it have any kind of effect on things?
Yeah. I mean, first off, it affected our original plans for release dates. I mean, you know, there was certain, you know, we had to look at timing because all of a sudden we were like, is anybody even going to play games anymore? You know, of course, that didn't turn out to be the case. But we really had to look at that very carefully. Then, of course, there's about the marketing and getting awareness of the game. You know, now all of a sudden there was no more game shows. And for us, we'd only been showing in Asia, you know, up until the DreamHack Anaheim. You know, we'd been showing in Taiwan and Japan. And we really wanted to show in US and Europe and get hands-on feedback from players, talk to players. But now all of a sudden we couldn't do that. And that was really problematic for us as well. And then of course, you know, there's the thing about the getting things certified with the platform holders, submitting it to Microsoft, things slow down there. of course, not their fault. Everybody has to stay safe and make sure, you know, they look after their employees. I think that's very, very important. And then, of course, you know, there's the shutdowns, right? Like, was Taiwan or is Taiwan going to force all the companies to require their employees to work from home? Now, for us, we were already kind of set up to work remotely if we needed to. So we were kind of good to go, but that would have slowed things down. And then on top of that, the other difficulty is that when you're developing on console, each of the platform holders have certain requirements and restrictions regarding where their consoles, their development kits can be placed. You have to give them certain security requirements, which makes that difficult. And for a small team like us, we don't have a dev kit for everybody. You know, we can't just let everybody take a dev kit home. So, you know, what we did was we just had a PC that people could remote to, and that PC is connected to the dev kit should they need to, you know, use a dev kit. So we had our ways to kind of work around that. But in essence, it really slowed things down a lot for us, at least.
Yeah, this has been it's been such a weird situation for everyone. So it's good to see that the game did come out and that it didn't affect it that badly in the long term. But
go ahead.
I genuinely thought we were going to be like, oh shit, there's no show for 2 months because nobody's going to release games.
Yeah, for us, a little bit more about Busy Toaster Games. Actually, you know, we are a independent team owned by Playrium. So we actually run two studios. And Playrium, you know, the original Playrium's goal, what we do is we bootstrapped our way here. We help other developers to make games. I work for Hire Studio. So we've worked with a lot of other, you know, bigger studios. We've been credited on a lot of pretty cool games. And it's through that work that we created like a separate brand, a separate team to work on GeoRifters, you know, so that we can start to make our own original game. So of course, there was the effect of the coronavirus or the pandemic meant that our contract work for Player slowed down. So that was also a problem for us too. So we really had to, you know, think smart and balance things on that side too. So yeah, it was a big deal. It still is for a lot of people, but we managed to really power through it. The team did a really great job, you know, to keep focus, to keep working through this very exceptional time, and to get the game shipped.
Yeah, props for getting it out. That's for sure. I can only give my best wishes to all the developers who are being affected by what's going on, and hope that everything turns out okay. It's just weird is the surreal. Surreal is the word I keep going back to with the situation.
Yeah, but like the one thing that I keep telling my friend when we talk about it, and he's like, oh, are we ever going to get to a new normal again? And I'm like, I don't think there is such a thing as surreal anymore. Reality has passed the surreal, you know?
Yeah,
like it's just so wild that you're like, you can't say something is surreal because it's not. It just is now.
It's just real now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the two alternate realities have merged and become a new, you know, reality. The multiverse crisis. You know, it's a new world now.
Yeah, this is the part in the Michael Bay movie where the camera spins around. They put their sunglasses on and they're like, everything's different now.
I gotta say though, as somebody who's immunocompromised, like all I'm doing is watching the rest of the world do the shit that I already do anyway.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like we've been working so hard, or at least you know, on GeoRifters, that you know, I'm literally coming in the morning, do our thing, get back home late at night, stay at home, read a few more emails, play a few more games. And when this whole thing happened, I was like, well, it's not really changed my routine. So it's what I do anyway. But I can imagine for a lot of others where it's very important for them to be outgoing, or it's just something that is important in their life, how it's a dramatic change for them. And, you know, it's tough. It's rough. It's, it's subjective for each person. So, you know, it's relative for each person. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's been a lot harder for my husband because he's far more like the go, 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 gotta move kind of person. And like, he's super impulsive and he's always got to be doing something. Whereas I'm like, whatever, I just chill here at the house all the time anyway. I don't give a fuck. Don't forget to grab me some ice cream when you go out.
Yeah. But I'm really hoping that, like, whatever the new normal is, that, you know, people keep playing more games. So, you know, that's actually been kind of a good thing for the games industry, which is quite interesting. Just hope it stays that way.
Yeah, it's cool that video games seem to be booming right now. It's nice to see games winning in the end, and all these like health organizations that are like, video games are bad for you. Now they're saying stay home, play video games.
Play games. Yeah. How the world has changed.
I think one of the wildest things about it is that I'm in a couple of moms groups on Facebook, and some of them I have been in. How old is number one? 16. So I've been in it since before I was even pregnant with her. So like 17, 18 years, I've been with these groups of women, and I've seen a lot of them argue, oh, video games are terrible, you shouldn't play video games. And now I'm watching a bunch of them go, oh, so I'm totally into Animal Crossing, or, oh, so I started playing this game. And some of them are like, I used to play WoW when I was younger, and I'm playing WoW again. And I'm like, you are almost 50. You have grandchildren now. And they're into it. And it's great. It's fantastic to see that they're going back to their roots and playing games and picking up new ones.
Yeah, yeah. I think like the industry, it's a really good time to get into gaming now. I think it's great now that, you know, different generations can play together. It's kind of more accepted. I think it's a really good thing, good space to be in.
Yeah.
I was like, Joe, did you die? I was totally yes. Yeah, I was like, pick up, and then you didn't say anything. I was like, Joe? Did you mute?
No, I didn't mute.
Did a cat mute for you?
No, I'm also dealing with Carnage on the side and the giveaways on the side, so I'm keeping track of everything. I have
Has anyone won any of the giveaways just yet?
Yes, we had two of the giveaways. Root Beer's My Jam won one, and who is the Jesus Ninja one? Lord of Night won the first one, but he's on PS4, so he had to redraw.
Oh, Root Beer, okay.
Cat fight.
Literal cat fight in my room.
Congrats to everyone that's won the Xbox draw, Root Beer, and was it Lord of
Jesus
Night?
Ninja.
Jesus Ninja. Congrats, guys. For the guy that got the PS4 one, stay following us. Maybe we can sort you out with something there.
Cool beans.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we move on?
No, I mean, maybe I was just about to say maybe some of the people in the chat had some questions, but I'm afraid of the can of worms that might open.
Well, they're asking how much is the game, so this is a good time. Give us the details on how much is the game.
Motherfucking elevator pitch.
Tell us,
man,
the goddamn details on the fucking game. Where can we fucking buy it? How much is
So it's $29.99. There is a discount right now, pre-order discount. So go get it now, get the discount. It's $23.99 with the discount, US dollars. And for that, you get like the co-op, you get multiplayer. It's about, I've been hearing some reviews where they've said it's easily 20, 25 hours worth of content, depending on your experience level. So there's a lot there. There's really a lot there. So yeah, that's the price. Try and get the discount while you can. Only a few more hours. Oh, did someone just say platinum trophy?
No. Yeah, is there a platinum? No, does it have a platinum?
It does. It has trophies. I mean, sorry, achievements. Sorry. We're talking about Xbox version. Yes, Xbox version has achievements.
Lightspeed is on PlayStation.
Lightspeed wants to know if it has a platinum trophy on PlayStation.
Yes, or it does.
There you go.
Right, there you go, Lightspeed.
Yes, it does.
See, we have some PS4 listeners. We have to cater to them as well.
We do. I just like to give everybody grief.
It has achievements on all the platforms, by the way.
Which is good. All right.
Yeah, well, let me know if you get the platinum. I'll be curious.
I don't think I'll ever get all the achievements in this game. Mm-mm. I'm not that good. I'm going to try, but I think you got me on this one. Carnage is asking,
worried about the complete all achievements achievement.
Oh. That's because
typically when those kind of games, when games are ported to Xbox and they have that achievement, like 80% of the time that motherfucker's broke.
Well, we've been testing the achievements extensively, and so far we've confirmed that it's not broken. And another thing, sorry, about the development of the game, we never ported it to Xbox. I have to say that actually, we actually developed it simultaneously.
We used Unreal Engine. That does make a difference when it comes to that achievement.
Yeah, we used Unreal Engine, and we did simultaneous development, and so everything is trying to push each platform to its and so on the achievement side, we've been very careful to make sure that we test to make sure it's not glitching and not broken. So it's possible to get all of the achievements. Now, we did fix a bug a couple of weeks back where it was a little bit trickier to get the S ranking. It's fixed already. That was the one thing that was kind of causing an issue a couple of weeks back. So we think that you should be good. You should be good. Yeah.
Very good to hear.
That is some rapid fire patching, man.
Oh man, there's going to be more.
You guys are on top of it. You got your shit together. It's good.
Yeah. No, you know, we're always testing. We have a really good test partner that gives us great feedback. And, you know, when our team sees something, you know, we can't fix everything, of course, because we're a small team. But we prioritize and we try and make sure that we are looking at what is important for the players. So that's why, you know, if you see something, say something. Right. Just let us know. We'll do our best to try and get it out there. Like, for example, like a few days ago, we found that on the localization side, because we're already localized to a few languages, but we found that it was just an issue about the presentation of the localized text. So, you know, we were already thinking about how can we get this out to players like sooner. And that's just a small issue. You know, it's not a high priority for us, but we really want to make sure the experience is good for everybody as best we can. I mean, we can't please everybody, but we try our best to make sure that everybody is going to have a good time, you know?
Yeah. And if you don't please them, fuck them. That's a healthy mindset to have, right?
Yeah. And to be honest, you know, I'm an achievement whore. I like going for the platinums. I have 13 platinums on my PlayStation. Nice. If I get the double ding, that's going to take me to 15. And it's not easy being a trophy hunter. it's a hard life, you know, but I know it's important for people. We got you achievement hunters covered. Don't worry.
Very good to hear.
Awesome.
What's that? Lightspeed. I go for the plats. I go for the achievements as well.
Yeah, get some Rattlelaker games. Then you'll have all kinds of platinums.
Yeah.
If you ever want to know how to make quick bucks on the Xbox, release a $5 game that can be completed in 15 minutes. Shit, not.
Really? Okay. Is that going to get all the achievement hunters there?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
There's a publisher, Rattlelaker Games.
Well, EastAsiaSoft does it too.
No, EastAsiaSoft has a bunch of other stuff. They have a lot more than just the easy achievement stuff, but Rattlelaker is basically known for the easy achievement stuff. They release
sometimes
games that
you used to, not as many now.
Interesting.
But they literally every week it's a $5 game. Sometimes you get every week. Sometimes you get unruly and it might be a $10 game, but usually it's between $5 and $7 and can be completed in under an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. That almost sounds like that's feeding an addiction.
I mean, yeah, I'm not mad is. About it.
Yeah, so there you go. If you want some easy sales, just think up like a match 3 puzzler game that has 15 stages that you could complete in 45 minutes and get 1,000 achievement points for $5 and it's going to sell.
Boom. Yeah. All right.
I'd play it and give you a buyout on the show.
All right. Geo Rifter's match 3 puzzle game.
That's the next DLC. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Well, Solomon, thank you so much for coming on and joining us and chatting with us. How can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Right. So, yeah, if you follow us on the Twitter, GRifters.com, GRifters on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, take your pick. Just look for GRifters and follow us. If you want to follow me, I don't really use social media that much. You'll be extremely disappointed. But if you did, you can find me on Twitter as XPJitsu. If you want to find me on Instagram, OneHKick. And if you want to find me on Facebook, it's Solomon Temowo. Just look for the guy wearing the Spider-Man outfit, and you'll find me.
Now I want to see this picture of you in a Spider-Man outfit.
Yes, and thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. You have yourself a wonderful day, and thank you again for doing this. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot. If whoever got the codes and the games, like, subscribe, follow, let us know what you think. All of your feedback really helps us to, improve the game.
All right. Well, thank you again, and you have yourself a wonderful day.
You too. Enjoy the evening, and Colt, you enjoy yourself too.
Take care.
All right. That was fun.
That was a good time.
That was a really good time. Yeah. Solomon's a good dude. And thank you again, Solomon, for donating the codes that we did the giveaways for. I think we have one spare one that we're going to do a Gleam giveaway for. So keep your eyes on our Twitters for more information. But we have more show. We got news. We do. A lot of news. You know what time of the month it is.
Really? Yeah.
Games with Gold, PlayStation Plus have been announced, and holy shit, people are not happy with Xbox.
Yeah. People aren't happy with PlayStation either, to be fair, though. There were people bitching about PlayStation, but PlayStation kind of just blew shit up.
Yeah. We'll start with PlayStation because this won the month easily. Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Call of Duty World War 2.
Yeah, that's some biggins.
Two huge AAA games. Yes, they're a little on the older side, but free is free, and those are big games to be free.
Yeah, it's true.
So, on the flip side, Xbox, not as big, but still some solid games in there. On the Xbox 360 side of things, for the first half of the month, we're getting Destroy All Humans, the original Xbox games. So no achievements there. And it's weird. It's coming out the same month as the remaster.
It is. Yeah, that's a little odd.
Maybe they're doing it to promote the remaster. It's like, hey, you can't get achievements on this one, but you can on the new one, motherfucker.
Maybe. Or maybe they think people will play the original and then be like, this could be better. I like it, but it could be better. And then they go and get the remaster.
Yeah, there you go.
Smart marketing.
Yeah. So, yeah, Destroy All Humans. Second half of the month is Sign Mora, which is a really, really solid shooter. So I'm not mad at that one at all.
Yep. Another one that has a remaster, though, because I remember I did the review for that one.
Yep. So the funny thing is I own Sign Mora, but the website says I don't own it. So I don't know what's going to happen when the game comes out. Like, am I going to have two copies of it?
I don't know.
Because I've almost been sucked into buying it before. I've seen it on sale for $2. I'm like, Sign Mora is only $2. I got to pick that up. And then I'll fire up my 360 and I'll check my games and it's on there. I'm like, wait a minute. I have that game. Why does it say I don't own it?
Odd.
Yeah. So I don't know. But Xbox One side of things for the first half or for the entire month of June is Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. Shantae. great timing with the new Shantae just releasing. Mm-hmm. So you could get an older one and it's a fantastic game. So you can't argue with that. It's
actually one I don't have. So I'm down for it.
Yeah. You can't argue with Shantae. No day. And then the other game for the Xbox One is Coffee Talk, which is a very interesting choice for a free game.
I really, really liked Coffee Talk. Maybe it'll get some people who didn't think they could be into that kind of visual novel. Maybe it'll spark their interest because it's a relatively easy completion.
Maybe.
It's also Play Anywhere. So If you've got a PC and you want to play it on that, you can. And I think it's a little easier to play it on PC, actually.
Why?
Because of there's coffee making mini games. And it's just easier to point and click at them with the mouse than it is to move the cursor around them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Like, it's a perfectly fine, you know, controller adaptation for it, too. It's just that it's just considerably easier to do it with a mouse.
Yeah. But yeah, those are the months. Xbox, on the surface, it's really not a bad month. But when you compare it to PlayStation, it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, well, and I feel bad saying that because I am glad people are going to pick up Coffee Talk that would not have otherwise.
That's why I'm saying on the surface, it's still a great lineup. Like when you look at the games individually, you're like, these are good games. They're solid games. There's no problems with any of them, really.
It's just they're not two AAAs.
Yeah.
So. Which is fair.
Speaking of more big games, Epic Games Store's free game this week. Did you see this one?
I believe I heard somebody mention it earlier, and now I've already forgot what it was.
Borderlands was like, The Handsome Collection is free on Epic this week.
I feel like it was already free once before, and I have it.
On Epic? I don't think
Yeah. Maybe I saw it in like a coming soon thing or something.
Maybe.
Because they do show pretty way far way out of what's coming up to be free, which is nice because then you don't accidentally buy that shit.
Yeah.
But I swear I either already have it or saw it or something. I was like, yeah, I knew that was a thing. Maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. Shit happens.
But that's been a couple of solid weeks in a row of free games. Grand Theft Auto, and then Civilization, and now Borderlands.
Yeah.
And then Sludge Life is also free, which we'll be talking about later on in the show.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. New game was announced as coming to Game Pass in June. No date on it yet, but it is coming. No Man's Sky.
Well.
Yes. No Man's Sky will be coming to Game Pass in June. What are your thoughts on that one?
I'm horribly indifferent to it. I'm sure there are people who are going to be excited, and that's great. But I don't know. I'll tell you what. I played it for review, and I can, like, visualize what it looked like, but I don't remember shit else about playing it. I'm not even going to lie. So, I mean, hey, if people are happy, great, but I don't remember shit. I feel bad for that.
I just love that what was once, like, a headline PlayStation title is now on Xbox's service.
That is a good point, and I hadn't even thought of it like that, but you're not wrong.
That's an interesting turn of events.
Yeah. That is a good point, because everybody's like, No Man's Sky is going to be the best thing ever, it's PlayStation only, get fucked. And it's like, no, but now it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, now it's on frigging Game Pass. Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human are all going to be hitting Steam on June 18th. So if you've been interested in any of those and have been turned off because they're only on PlayStation, now you can play them on Steam.
I put Detroit on my wish list.
Nice.
Just for the record. Yeah. I was like, wow, this shit is like perfect timing. All these games that everybody was like, but you can't play this and you can't play that. I'm like, yeah, but now I can. And I didn't have to get a PlayStation to do it.
Very true.
The only one, Until Dawn, is the only other one that I think I'd like to play that I haven't seen anything on yet.
Yeah, I don't think that one will be coming over. I think that one was published by Sony.
That's what everybody said about the other shit, too. So here we are.
True. I guess we'll see in the future.
Times, they are changing, Joe.
They are. Shit's getting weird for sure. The latest killer in Dead by Daylight has been revealed. Did you see this one?
I saw a hint and somebody spoiled it for me before I could actually see the actual announcement.
Fucking Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
Yeah. That's
holy shit.
Man, I wish I had more people that would play Dead by Daylight with me because I am so fucking into it.
I wish I liked Dead by Daylight because goddamn the crossovers in that game.
I love it, man. But I couldn't get anybody into it to play it with me.
I'm not good at games like that. I can't really get into them. I would love to play them if I could, and mm-hmm. had fun with them, but I don't know, just the crossover material is insane.
Yeah.
And now friggin' Pyramid Head from Silent Hill. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty badass. The pack will also include a new survivor and the school map. So keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah, I saw the screenshots from that.
Good shit. BlizzCon 2020 officially canceled due to the pandemic. Shocker, I know.
Human malware.
Human malware. Samurai Showdown Neo Geo Collection was announced this week. Okay. Have you seen this one?
No.
It's going to be a collection of a bunch of classic Neo Geo Samurai Showdown games, obviously, with Samurai Showdown 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 Special, and 5 Perfect, all included. 5 Perfect, Samurai Showdown 5 Perfect, is previously unreleased, and they are calling it the final game made for the Neo Geo.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Also going to include a museum and a music player, like the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection that came out. And the reason why is because Other Ocean is doing it, so they're going to kick ass with this port and all the content, and it's going to be pretty badass, and I'm looking forward to it.
I was about to say, it sounds like you have high expectations.
I do. When, did you play the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection?
I did.
That
I reviewed
is like,
it!
Yes, that is like the... The bar has been set for what a good retro collection can be.
True.
They set the bar with that. And they're doing the Samurai Showdown package, so I expect good stuff from them.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be
Don't
led.
Fuck it up, Mike Micah. I gotta get him back on the show. I miss him.
Yeah.
The game will be releasing June 11th on the Epic Games Store. Free.
Wow.
Yes, free for the first week, and then June 18th, it'll be hitting Steam, so Steam gamers won't have to wait much longer. Console gamers, unfortunately, have to wait another month, because July 28th, it will be hitting PS4 and Switch, and there was a lot of confusion for a while about whether or not there would be an Xbox release, but Mike Micah came out and confirmed that there is an Xbox release. It is planned for the same time, and the lack of Xbox being mentioned in the marketing materials was some kind of oversight.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So that's good.
So July,
it is going to hit Xbox.
July 28th, Xbox, Switch, and PS4. So that is exciting. Speaking of fighting games, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid is officially the first fighting game to have full crossplay between Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, Steam, and Stadia.
You don't say.
5 platforms all together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Crossplay is good. Thank you, crossplay. So rock on, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. Some happy and sad news for you. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered is coming out August 27th.
Yeah.
On PlayStation and Switch. Yeah, that's the sad news. But you have a Switch.
I do.
Now you have a Switch, so you can play it.
I can.
But you won't?
It is Crystal Chronicles. It's literally the only Final Fantasy I give half a fuck about.
See, so you could get that. I'll pick it up on the Switch. We could play together. And maybe if I have friends on PS4, we'll all play together. Because it has crossplay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm Go still figure. Gonna hold it has my crossplay, but eventually someday hits Xbox.
Yeah, I hope so. Come on, Square, give it to us on Xbox, you dicks.
You can do it. You can do it. I have faith in you. I might consider not saying bad things about you if you let me play Crystal Chronicles where I fucking want to play it.
Oh, man. All right. Final bit of news I have. Toy Soldiers is coming back as Toy Soldiers 2 Finest Hour was announced by Signal Studios. I love that it's called Toy Soldiers 2 when this is like the fourth one.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I am completely unfamiliar with Toy Soldiers.
Yeah, there were I think two on 360, and then there was a newer one on the current generation of consoles when it went multi-platform, and now I think this is the fourth one, yeah.
Okay.
So it's two. Toy Soldiers
well, then.
Two.
All right.
Yeah, it's like Assassin's Creed numbering now.
Oh my god. Games just need to give up on numbering anything at all.
Yeah, they
do. And just be like, this is the game. This is the next game. This is the next game.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the news I got. Anything you want to talk about, or are you ready to just dive into reviews?
We can dive into them.
All right. Well, the first game to talk about tonight is called Minecraft Dungeons. A copy of this game was provided to us by Microsoft for the purpose of this review, which is how it works for everything we cover on this show, but they want us to say it anyway, so we're saying it. It was developed by Mojang Studios and Double 11, published by Xbox Game Studios, released May 26th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. A Heroes Edition is available for $29.99 and includes a hero cape, some player skins, and a chicken pet, as well as two DLC packs when they release in the future. Fight your way through an all-new action-adventure game inspired by classic dungeon crawlers and set in the Minecraft universe. Cole, tell us about Minecraft Dungeons.
So I've actually got a little surprise for everybody. I'm not going to be the one talking about Minecraft Dungeons. Number One is going to do this for me because she and her sisters put in the most time into it, and I think she can do the fairest job. So, you know, I'm going to hand over the headphones and the microphone and be nice to Number One because she's going to tell you about Minecraft.
Okay.
You want to say hi to Joe?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Tell us about Minecraft Dungeons.
So Minecraft Dungeons is an ARPG game. Obviously, it has Minecraft to it.
What kind of art style does it have?
Blocky.
It's blocky. It's
blocky. Is your mom just whipping you in the background as you're talking?
I can't say anything.
Get back to it, slave. Discuss the game for us.
Okay. So at the beginning of everything, there's a little story to it, obviously.
What's the premise? What's the story?
So there's a little villager. Uh-huh. And the regular Minecraft is pillagers and regular villagers. But I don't know about the villager thing. Anyways, so there's a weird little villager who got kicked out from his village. And he just set out on a regular journey. He found this weird, powerful crystal thing. It went over his head, and now he's corrupted. So you set out on an adventure to go and defeat the villager. I didn't get that far. I got far enough, but I didn't complete it. So, yeah.
I didn't beat it yet either, so that's fine. It's an ARPG, so there's a lot of emphasis on replaying and leveling up and just playing through the stages over and over.
Yeah, you definitely have to level up. It'll let you know if you're, like,
high enough level.
Yeah, if you're high enough level or if you're too low. You can still play if you're low, but you'll struggle a lot, especially near the later on levels and all that. Those get really hard.
There's definitely a lot of going back and forth and grinding out for more levels and XP so that you can take on higher levels.
Especially you should just turn around and be like, bitch, who's really doing this review?
Difficulty spike that kind of stopped you guys at the Archillager.
Yeah. So what it seems like after you complete the game, there's two other difficulties. There's the regular, so you have your regular story mode, and then you go on adventure, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And after you complete that one, then there's apocalypse, and they get harder, but the rewards are better, and the monsters get harder and all that.
But they're locked, you can't play
them. Yeah, you can't play them unless you finish the story, the regular story, then adventure. After you complete that one, then apocalypse.
Which makes sense. They don't want you just jumping into the deep end right off the bat.
Yeah.
Although my friend Chris would probably do that.
I probably would have too.
So what do you think of the game? Have you had fun with it?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's easy enough for like my sisters to play it too. Like they didn't start off at the tutorial with me. They started off at like two levels after that.
It was just easy enough to pick up and play.
Yeah, you also level up quickly, too, especially with the earlier levels. So
what else is there in the game? What else can you tell us about it?
Let's see.
Is there online?
Yes, there's online, but I tried the there's local online, which you hook up controllers and you can all just play like that.
Local multiplayer.
Yeah.
But there's online as well.
I've tried it, but you can't
matchmake. You have to have friends already to invite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's friend only. Unfortunately, there is no cross play right now yet either. My buddy Chris wanted to play on Windows 10. I was playing on Xbox and we could not get a game to match up. It popped up with an error saying that there was no crossplay. So hopefully in the future, I know they said that there would be an update in the future. Hopefully it's not that far into the future.
Yeah, because there's also another thing that I noticed, which was the realms at the end. I don't know if that's like after you complete the game, but I tried to click on it. It said that it'll be there in the future. So I'm guessing
probably
it's
DLC.
Maybe, yeah.
We do have the Hero Edition, so that DLC will be included, and we'll cover that too.
Yeah, at the beginning, back to the beginning, you get to choose your like skin, like you do in regular Minecraft. So that's pretty cool. You get to choose your skin and stuff. So to the gameplay, when you're leveling up, when you're going on in a level, there's loot. And there's drops from random monsters and stuff. When you're playing local multiplayer, they'll be color-coded for the drop. So, like, first player would probably be, like, yellow. And if there's more color codes for that certain color. Which,
how makes does sense. The XP split between in multiplayer? Is it everybody gets shared XP, or do you only get XP for the damage you do?
I'm not sure. You just randomly level up. There's no visual. There's no visual way of getting XP. You just there's an XP bar with your artifacts you have in your health bar. Mm-hmm. There's just a random purple bar with your XP, and it shows how far you are to leveling up and stuff. But there's no actual like.
Yeah, I noticed when you kill monsters, it doesn't say, like, you gain this much XP. They just drop little yellow crystals that float to your body that counts as your XP. But I don't know how much you get. It's not very clear on that.
Yeah, I don't know either. So you just be like, well, I just gotta wait and see if I level up.
Just keep killing things and level up.
Yeah. There are secrets to the game, too. There are little secret levels. I unlocked a secret level at the after a while when I went back to go level up. It was a secret crypt, and you can just explore. You don't actually have to follow where the arrow is if you want to. Just go explore.
Yeah, but that's what I did in levels. I would.
Yeah.
It'd be like, go this way. I'm like, no, I'm going that way.
Yeah.
And I'm staying over that way.
And it doesn't tell you. It doesn't force you to go that way. It just has an arrow there. Like, okay, this is where you have to go.
Yeah, you'll eventually get there anyway. One of my downsides with the game is it is fairly linear. There's only one real path that you could go in the end. Any side shoots are just going to be dead ends that will have like money there that you could pick up or monsters there, but you're eventually going to have to go back and go the one direct path to the end. So there is some linearity to the game, but I don't think it's that big of a detriment just because you could replay and keep killing things over and over.
Yeah. Like, there's a problem with the arrow sometimes, especially if you're in local multiplayer again, where it'll go up to the corner, but you have someone's health bar there, and it gets blocked. The arrow gets blocked, so you're like, oh, where do I have to go now? Unless you go to the map. The map, it shows you where you've been, it highlights where you've been, but sometimes you can't move the map at all and see where you have to go if your arrow is blocked.
Yeah, it's just one of those maps that you pull up and it's an overlay over the screen.
Yeah.
You can double tap it and make it come up full screen.
Yeah.
But it's still just full screen.
And you can't move it around.
So
it just.
Can she hear me? Is she listening? Cole, can you hear me?
I can hear.
God damn it. I can't talk shit about her.
It's okay. Oh, no.
So do you have any complaints about the game?
Other than not moving the map. And no, I like it. I would suggest buying it, the Hero Pass, if you want it. I'd suggest playing it. It's really easy.
Do you think it's worth the extra $10 for the Hero Pass?
If you just get skins for it extra skins.
It comes with the DLC.
Yeah. That's what
we don't know what the DLC is going to be, though. So
yeah. Well, if it has more levels and stuff, but yeah, it'd probably be worth it. I like it. I like it enough where I'd be like, hey, give me the DLC.
All right. So over.
To know, how is it solo?
It's easy solo at the beginning, but after a while it gets difficult because again, with the level of difficulties, more monsters appear and they gang up on you.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
So it's a game that's fun, but it's definitely better with others.
Yeah. A lot better with others.
All right. So well,
what do you give the game? A buy it, a try it, or a deny it?
Can you just be like, let him do his lines?
I'm doing your job because I'm better at it.
No, you're not.
Rude, mother. That is rude.
So $20 for your overall verdict. What do you think?
Buy it. It's good.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You're hired.
Replace mom. Yeet. My job.
Just yeet me out of here. Bye.
Well, do you have any final words before we let you go?
The panic of fear that just went through her eyes. Give me my microphone back.
Don't crap at me while I'm gone.
I tried. Lightspeed wants to know if you have any hard feelings about Warzone.
Yes.
Paul, any other thoughts on Minecraft?
No, the only thing one of the reasons that I asked her about the XP, I didn't notice that it wasn't showing up on the screen for him. But I noticed that when Shiz played, he didn't have to go back and grind quite as much to be enough of a level to take on the Arch Illager, whereas they had to go back and replay quite a bit. And I'm suspecting that there's like not as much XP to go around if you're playing with a group.
Hmm.
But I can't 100% guarantee that's what it is. But if I'm not mistaken, when I was watching Shiz play, he was like level 26 by the time he got to the Arch Illager. Whereas the girls were like 17 and 20.
Hmm.
So there was... Maybe you guys are just better and didn't have to die and replay as much as he did.
I was about a level 25.
But he was playing solo and you guys were.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I think.
You were 25. One of you, because I could see on the screen, one of you guys were a 17.
Yeah, I think it was one of the two girls.
So yeah, you guys were definitely not as high of a level as Shiz was when he got to it. So.
I started before the two girls did.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's a fun game. Right?
Yes, they're not disappointed. They're very happy with it. And if you're into Minecraft at all, you're probably not even listening to me. You've already played it.
I mean, it's a $20 game. When it was first announced, I thought it was going to be a $40, $50 game.
Yeah.
And the fact that it came out at $20, people are like, but it's not Diablo. It's fucking $20.
There was a tweet I saw recently from a guy who was like, you know, Xbox is closing out the generation with $20 games and therefore they were doing poorly. And it was like, who the fuck cares if it's $20 or $60 if you're having fun? I play $5 games that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So who the fuck cares what it costs?
And it's not even an Xbox exclusive, morons. It's on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Yeah.
And Switch.
I don't know why anybody who isn't already a Minecraft fan would be disappointed in it. Like, I think that it's got enough of that Minecraftiness about it that you can dive into it. But I think it also, because of its RPG dungeon crawling nature, like it opens it up to be more of a game that even people who aren't super into Minecraft can get a hold of.
Yeah.
I mean, I played a couple levels of it by myself. Fuck it. You know, Evelyn just looked at me wild and I'm like, I had to review it. I wasn't going to pass the whole thing off to you. I wasn't entirely going to throw you to the wolves. I helped you a little.
It's a Minecraft game for people who don't like Minecraft, and it's a dungeon crawler for people who don't like dungeon crawlers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very satisfied with it. I mean, it's not even my... I would say that the dungeon crawler genre is more my thing, whereas Minecraft is definitely not. And I was like, yeah, I can play this. I'm good with it. I'm not disappointed. It felt very much like playing a more polished, more defined Riverbond.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm not really that much into dungeon crawlers, really, but again, with the mic, I kind of like Minecraft.
I don't know if the mic is picking you up all the way over there. Is it? Okay, good.
Okay, but like, again, I'm not into dungeon crawlers, but with the Minecraft aspect to it.
It sucked you into it all the same.
It goes well.
Yeah, it works.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I give her a passing grade.
You got a passing grade.
Ooh.
You get a dip? Maybe. You want to stick around for the rest of the reviews?
I gotta make sure they're not talking crap about
it. You gotta make sure that y'all ain't talking shit about
it. Well, now that she's gone, let's talk shit about her.
Let's not be cruel to my 16-year-old.
Okay.
Teenagers are fragile.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, she said she has emotions, people.
Moving on, next game to talk about is called Atomic Crops, developed by Birdbath Games, published by Raw Fury, released May 28th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. Atomic Crops is an action-packed roguelite farming simulator where you must cultivate and defend the last farm in the post-apocalyptic wasteland, farm mutated crops, marry townsfolk, and kill every mutant creature that tries to invade. Cole, tell us about Atomic Crops.
So I played Atomic Crops on Epic, and
yeah, you previewed it a few weeks ago.
I had a rough start with the game. Okay, I was not super into it. I felt like I should have been. It is 100% the kind of game I want to play. Twin stick with some farming elements. It's one of those, like, you could have put it together out of Super Mash and been like, fuck yeah, right? Shouldn't have been disappointed, and yet somehow I just couldn't get my bearings about the game. Couldn't get into it, and I was like, I know I should love this, but I can't. Now, it's on Xbox.
My AC kicked on. I'm going to turn it off. Keep talking.
Okay. It's on Xbox, and I've played it some more, and some more. And then I've played it some more on Epic, and then I played it more on Xbox. And what I've come to discover is that with time and patience, I actually really enjoy Atomic Crops.
That's good.
I thought I went into this going, I'm gonna love this game. This is my shit. So the fact that it took me so long to get to a point where I'm like, yeah, I like this, kind of disappoints me. And I think I figured out what it was. And I'll frame it like this. I watched Shiz stream it the other day. Yesterday, actually, as a matter of fact. And watching somebody else play it is a really good way to realize what the fuck I was struggling with. From, like, you know, it gives you an outside looking in kind of perspective. And I realized that my biggest problem with Atomic Crops is that it gives you a basic tutorial. It's like, here's how you water your crops. Here's how you plant them. Here's how you shoot shit. And then it throws you to the wolves.
It doesn't
tell you fuck all else. And if you can't get your bearings about it, you're fucked. Mm-hmm. You just die over and over. There's no learning curve because you're never sure what mistake led to your death. You're just like, oh, something hit me. Well, I died. But you don't realize why shit's hitting you or why you're not progressing or why you're not getting anywhere and getting any kind of upgrades or leveling up or doing anything proper. And that's because the game doesn't say. It'll tell you, yeah, you need to go explore, but it doesn't give you any kind of tips or strategies on how to explore or when's a good time to explore or how to make use of what you find when you explore. It doesn't tell you anything about what's an ideal tool to look for. It's just like, figure it out yourself, and if you don't, sucks to be you. I don't necessarily want the game to hold my hand, but some kind of explanation about how to progress.
Yeah.
Would be really nice. Just something like, this is what killed you. This is why you fucked up. This is what you didn't have. Because even when you die, it gives you like a receipt, if you will, of how much you earned on each day of each season. But that's it. It doesn't explain to you what you did to get that much or why it was worth that much. It doesn't ever say, hey, fertilize your plants and they're worth more. And then, you know, it doesn't ever just like, give you any kind of tip to tell you what the fuck you're doing wrong. Like, I could not tell you how long it was before I finally broke down and told Chiz, you need to fertilize your shit. He was so confused because the plants are just like sitting there chirping, and he thought that when he would kill an enemy, it was dropping a seed. But then he's like, why can't I plant the seeds? It tells me how to plant seeds. And I was like, that's not the seeds, that's the fertilizer. The game doesn't tell you that shit. It doesn't explain it. It just leaves you to kind of fumble around and find it.
Yeah, I think that's the stage I'm still at in the game. I put a few hours into it, and I'm killing things, I'm planting, I'm dying, I'm not making a lot of money. I'm just, I'm treading water, it seems.
I think that one of the most viable strategies I have found is to accept that the first day of each season is just spent finding shit. Don't even try to like plant anything, or try to get all your planting done, because the game does a day and night cycle. And so there's enemies around during the day, which is another one of my gripes, and I'll get to that in a second. But there's enemies around during the day, and then the mobs hit at night. But you can go exploring and looking for seeds and fertilizer and power-ups. You can go do that shit anytime. But you kind of have the mentality that you're only allowed to do it during the day because you've got to defend your crops at night. But there's nothing that tells you that, hey, a good strategy is plant your shit in the day, get it out of the way. Who gives a fuck if the mobs are there at night because you don't have any crops? Go explore and do something that you really want to do. It makes never sense. Tells you that's a good strategy. But that's what I found has been my most successful strategy. Is just say, fuck it. Let the shit happen at night. Who cares if I don't have any plants there? Makes the game sense. Could grossly benefit from just a, hey, dumbass, do this.
Yeah,
just
I could definitely bit. Use some more guidance.
Another thing that gets me about it is that the color palette for it is very muted and bleak, which is fine. It's supposed to look like, you know, a nuclear event has occurred and thus everything is mutated and kind of weird looking. But it can also make it really difficult to differentiate between certain items. As I said, Chiz was very confused thinking that the fertilizer was seeds. And if you don't know any better, I could see how it would look like it if you just didn't know. Seeds are often a very light brown color and they're on the like clay red dirt. And if you're not paying a whole lot of attention and expecting there to be seeds, you can miss them entirely. The other thing that I would fuss about would be that I bitched kind of, but I'm going to bitch more. During the day is supposed to kind of be your downtime, if you will, so that you can plant and focus on the farming part, or going to explore, whichever one you want to do. But even during that time, you have to deal with a small grouping of enemies attacking you. There's no option to like set up any kind of barricade or protection early on. You have to wait until you gradually upgrade and can put out turrets and shit like that to help you out. But early on, like even then, it's just throwing you in the deep end and like, oh yeah, you're trying to hoe up a garden, but hey, here's a giant slug that's going to come around and chomp at your shit while your back is turned. Or the damn little dig dug looking things that come up, pop up out of the dirt and spit at you. I understand wanting to have it be a challenge, but I think at least in the first couple seasons or even the first year, just give people a chance to get their bearings about them enough before you start throwing in daytime enemies too. Yeah. Give them some kind of rest period to explore and understand what's going on. Because I spent so much time in the beginning, even when I did my preview, thinking, oh, this is, you know, the daytime, this is it. This is there's constant enemies and this is where I'm supposed to be. I have to stay here and protect this area. Before I realized that I was like, oh shit, I can just say fuck this if there's nothing here and go off and look for what I want. I thought I had to stay there because there's enemies there. And then I thought, well, how the fuck am I supposed to go explore and find anything if I'm always here protecting this? So balancing out the difficulty and giving you some wiggle time to just explore and learn. Like, there are still areas of the game. I have played a shit ton of this at this point on both systems. And I'm still, like, there are areas where I just cannot get far enough to advance to it, to explore it. Like, I was so proud of myself earlier because I got to an area where I had a couple of bridge kits on me. And I was like, I can go explore and I'm doing good. I've got enough. I'm going to go see what I can do. And then I took one hit in the ass while I was walking away from a daytime enemy. I was like, I have survived so much shit. And then this happened. Which then also brings me to the cost of health in this game is unreal. Absolutely unreal. It starts out, you can only purchase health with roses. But the roses are also what you use to flirt to try to marry somebody.
Oh, man.
So you have to decide, like, can I really get by with just 3 hit points? And then it's like, surprise, here's the boss. No, you can't, fuck you. And you're like, well, shit, I should have at least got an achievement for getting married or something first. Some Carnage is right. Sometimes the hearts do drop and the bosses do drop them. But it's not consistent enough. Like, it's very deceptive because it's like, oh, you have like 6 or 7 hearts, heartbeats. I get amused by that because it's literally a beat, B-E-E-T. So it's deceptive because you're like, oh, I can take quite a few hits, but you don't regenerate any hearts between seasons. You don't regenerate any hearts over different days. Like, for the love of God, give me an easy starter mode.
Yeah.
Carnage said he found a perk one time that actually gives him a regenerated heart every day. That should not be so fucking rare that I have this much time in it, and I have never seen that.
Yeah.
I would give anything for it. I wish that there was an easy mode. There's a really horrible trope with the twin stick roguelike genre that people think it just has to be goddamn hard or it can't be fun.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart.
That needs to die. Just give me something approachable, something that I can enjoy without losing my mind dying constantly. Let me get a sense of progress in a game before I die and have to start over.
Yeah. It's really disappointing that is such a common trope for the genre. I think it keeps a lot of people out of it. I know it kept me out of it for a long time. Even way back with like Binding of Isaac, I was like, well, if I ever beat Mom, I'm happy. and it just takes a long ass time to get your bearings about it. And Atomicrops is no different. It's just disgustingly difficult. Beyond that, and like I said, the color palette could use a little bit of help because it can be kind of hard to differentiate what you're looking at, what you're trying to pick up when. And you do miss things a lot because it just kind of blends into the surroundings. But beyond that, I think that they've got a really solid idea. I just hate that it's so unapproachable.
Yeah.
And because it makes me sad. I'd like to see more people be like, this is my shit. I'm into this because it's so easy on the surface. When you look at it, you go, twin stick, okay, move, shoot things, sometimes hold a trigger. I love that they've added in the multitasking, though. Like, you don't have to stop digging to shoot an enemy. You can do both. You're shooting with one hand, home with the other, and I am fully supportive of that. I'm 100% on board. I'm glad that they added in something like that. But it when you're looking at the game, you're like, okay, this is shoot, garden pests and farm, and that seems easy enough. But then, like, you get in there and you're just failing miserably, it drains it. And that's sad.
Yeah. Well, overall, it seems like you had a lot of fun with it despite its shortcomings. $15 on it. What are your thoughts?
I think $15 is a solid price point. I think the content is there to justify it. I think the gameplay is there to justify it. I would just really, really like to see a more approachable game mode that more people could get into. And I think its difficulty makes it hard to give it a full-fledged buy it. So I'm going to give it a fairly recommended try it. I think if you're already into Twin Sticks, if you're already you know, good with these kind of roguelikes, and you're willing to like pull up the wiki to get some tips and strategies, then you're going to have a little bit more fun out of it than somebody who's just going to like already struggle and is new to the genre.
Yeah.
There's no wiggle room for newbies here.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. This is something like I want to have a lot more fun with this, and I want to spend a lot more time with it. I want to see some updates to make the game a bit more approachable for newcomers and people who just aren't as skilled. An easy mode in this game would be fantastic. Give us our health back at the end of the day if you have to.
Yeah.
Just something tiny to make it more approachable.
Per day. Like one beat per day, and you know, maybe no mob during the day. Just let people go and explore and smash the camps, because the camps are where you go and get your power ups and stuff. Give you the option to go in and do that during the day, and it would be far more approachable and give you a learning curve to actually, rather than just throwing you in the deep end with no floaties.
Yeah. All right, next game to talk about is called The Last Scape, developed and published by Pablo Vidoeri Sanz, released May 29th on Xbox One for $5.99. Glide through a vast open world alpine scape in the search of an answer as to why this is your only memory. Cole, what is The Last Scape?
I don't fucking know.
But goddamn, is it good looking.
It's beautiful, and it sounds fantastic. Let me get those two notes out of the way, because those are incredibly important. It's a beautiful game. It looks and sounds just, it could be worth every penny just on that alone.
And on the X, it is stunning.
I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure of it, because even on the S, I was just blown away with it. However, gameplay basically revolves around you kind of gliding through different areas. And there will be circles that you go through, fly through, and you activate memories by going through these circles. I have no fucking clue what this game is trying to tell me. None whatsoever. And I also want to point out that if you are like me, and you are particularly bad at flying games in the first place, anything that requires flight, I fail miserably. And so I told you that. And you were like, you could do this. And I was like, it might make me motion. And you were like, no, it didn't bother me.
It like, didn't, surprisingly. I didn't have any issues with motion sick on this game.
Rip, because I puked.
Did you?
I did.
Wow.
It got me. And it got me a couple of times.
Wow, that is surprising. Because normally I'm the one who goes first on motion sickness.
Yeah, and this, I don't know what it was about Last Scape, but it held me down.
Damn.
And I was very sad, especially in the very beginning when you're going through like that, it's all black and there's these white rings and it's like teaching you how to fly through. There's a part where it's like, you know, basically tells you to do a barrel roll. Blah! Gone immediately. I didn't make it past that before I puked.
Wow.
I was just like, oh, this is going to be a tough review. I was not wrong. It was a tough one. At least it's visually inspiring, because whew, my stomach was not happy with me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, gameplay wise, you pretty much mentioned everything. You fly through rings. Some of them lead to rings that you have to go through other rings. You have to go through them in a certain direction for it to count. And you just got to collect all the rings, and that's the end of the game.
Yep. It's very simple.
It's very relaxing.
It is. I feel like this is the kind of game that somebody creates when they're trying to show somebody else they can make a game. That's not a negative in any way, but it's like you put a game together that's very simple and in mechanics, but shows off what you can do. Then it would be Last Scape.
Something
where you fly through and hit rings.
Yeah, very much does feel like a tech demo of sorts, maybe a proof of concept to show what's possible.
Oh, what is the Steam game I played that was literally a tech demo of the gliding? Was it a Way? It's not Glide. Is it? It's called a Way.
I don't remember.
Oh,
you're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, the gliding prototype away. It was very similar to that. And I was just like, in a way, I feel like I've played this. But also, it's different. It looks different. You're not a flying squirrel this time. So there's that. I don't know that I'll ever figure out what the fuck I actually was, what I was doing, or why, though. It was just pretty and rings and relaxing. One thing I thought was interesting was when the game started up, it actually had a logo at the top for the 1S.
Yeah, and mine has a 1X.
I don't know why.
So that's cool that it can detect what system you're on.
Yes, I felt shamed. It was like, you're going to play a game, we made it look this good, and you're playing it on 1S. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm curious. I should have downloaded it on number ones and see what it says on about the fat Xbox. I wonder what it says. Interesting. I'll have to remember to do that and then like report back when we do this shit next week. But yeah, very simple, very relaxing. It is what it is, but what it is isn't bad.
Yeah, $6. What do you say?
It's only $6.
Yeah.
I think if you're good with flight games and you don't get motion sick, then it could be a buy it. Yeah, I'm okay with that. But I think, you know, take motion sickness and whether or not you're actually good at flight games into consideration.
Yeah, and shout out to the dev who's very receptive of feedback. When I first started playing, I thought the controls were very awkward. They have up and down on one side, left and right on the other stick, and the left stick, when you turn left and right, it would like turn you like the like doing a barrel roll. And
yeah, that didn't help with my motion sickness.
Yeah, I contacted him and I said it was very awkward to control. He implemented an option that allows you to swap the turning and the rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the options, and it made the game infinitely more playable for me.
I saw that, and that's why I hadn't brought it up complaining about the controls, because I noticed that there was the option to change it.
Yeah.
And that's on you. Thank you.
Yes. And also the inverted option is there because of me as well. I said people would get pissed if there's no invert option. I love that it controlled inverted, but I know other people wouldn't like it that way. So yeah. I mentioned, you know, I would throw invert in there as well. So those two options, you're welcome, everybody.
Nice.
Yeah.
Joe.
Next game to talk about is a preview of the game Drake Hollow. We checked out the beta, or you checked out the beta, developed and published by the Molasses Flood. It's going to be releasing June 17th on Xbox One, Windows 10, and Steam. Drake Hollow is a cooperative action village building game set in the Hollow, a blighted mirror of our world, in which you build and defend villages of Drakes, the local vegetable folk. Cole, how's the beta?
It's so fucking adorable. I'm so happy. The interesting thing with the beta is that it immediately comes up and it tells you that the information that is there, like the gameplay and stuff, not all of it's there. Some of it has been disabled to, because they still need to work on it. Obviously, it doesn't come out till July. And so there's a lot of wiggle room. And so I was a little concerned when I initially saw that alert. I was like, oh boy, there's not going to be much to do, and I'm going to have to talk about it on the show, and I'm going to be like, I don't know, there wasn't anything. And yet, I spent so much time this week staying up incredibly late, making little gardens and wells and saving my little drakes, and I was just happy as a pig in shit while doing it. I cannot tell you. Molasses Flood, man, I do no wrong in my eyes. I'm already big fans. I love the Flame and the Flood. One thing that I thought was interesting is that the world is set on islands. Unlike the Flame and the Flood, where the islands were, you know, distanced by river, what we have in Drake Hollow is ether, and it has corrupted the land. So in between the islands is this fog with thorns and just everywhere. But you can craft crystals that will protect you so that you can walk through the ether. It's important to know that the crystals are limited use. They only last about 16 seconds apiece. It's such an odd time, but it is sufficient to get you from one island to the next in most situations. So once you've used it up, it's done for, but you craft them in groups of three. So you typically have enough to get you where you're going, get you back, and have a spare hanging around in case something, you know, goes awry. You'll cross from the islands, you explore each one. The more that you explore, the more the islands are corrupted. And so then you need to use items that you have found in this seemingly post-apocalyptic world. Like, there are houses and they're generally dilapidated, and like, you can find odd items to use in them. I did at one point find a shotgun, but my favorite weapon was the nail gun.
Oh,
and you
man.
Can just use a nail gun to knock out the big creepy crawlies that are lurking around.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I was whacking shit with a boat oar. I was just having a good time with it. I was very into just running around. I also appreciate that initially it starts you off with an axe, and I'm like, okay, I got an axe. And there is weapon degradation, which is something to take into consideration when you're playing. So I was like, you have to collect wood because you have to build things for the drakes that you find. The drakes are little various types of vegetable people, essentially. Like a veggie animal hybrid with great big eyes, and they're super adorable. And you find them initially, they're infants, and they are hibernating. So all you can see is one little leaf poking up out of the ground. You raise the drake up out of the ground and send it back to your camp, and then you're responsible for taking care of it. If you're taking care of them, they will give you a buff. Now, one thing that I was disappointed in is that you can only have one buff at a time, no matter how many drakes you have. So you have to think about which buff is actually going to be the most beneficial. And in the beginning, I had one drake that would give me vampirism, so I would have lifesteal from whatever I was killing. But it was so early in the game that it was kind of moot because none of the enemies were strong enough to do that much damage in the first place. So then the other drake that I had a buff that made my camp more entertaining without me having to build extra stuff. Because the drakes get bored. They have needs. This is where, like, the survival element of the game comes in. I find it incredibly interesting that the survival element is not how your character survives, but how the inhabitants of your camp survive. So if your drakes are sad, if they're not entertained, if they're hungry, if they're thirsty, they'll die. They'll go back into hibernation. You lose them in the world. That's it. You got to go find them again.
Are you not entertained?
Look, you get to build them little poppets. It's so fucking adorable, okay? Everything is horribly creepy and also super adorable. I love it. It's such an odd juxtaposition, and I'm down for every minute of it. Totally lost where I was before that, though.
It's because you're entertained.
I was. I was so entertained, Joe.
You're welcome.
Like, I'm gonna be heartbroken when the beta ends. And I don't know what day the beta ends. But I am going to be absolutely heartbroken about it, and I'm gonna be sitting here going, is it July 17th yet? Can I play Drake Hollow now? There is a single player and there is online. It is drop in, drop out co-op. So if you are playing alone and your friends come to join your camp, they just get to join and come help you out. I didn't have anybody else that had a code for the beta, so I can't, you know, talk about how well that worked, unfortunately. I didn't get to try it. I was playing by myself. It's fine. I play at like 2 a.m. Nobody gives a fuck what I'm doing at 2 a.m. anyway. Nobody's hanging around at 2, 3, and 4 when I'm sitting here whacking at the baddies with my oar. Okay? Excuse me. But yeah. Generally very, very happy with the game. Everything was super pretty. I didn't have any problems. It could benefit, again, and I think this was just the beta aspect of it, but like there wasn't enough explanation for setting up the waypoints and collecting supplies. It would definitely help if it was a little more explanatory. I suspect the full game probably will be, but there was a lot of just, you know, trial and error. Thankfully, though, it's really forgiving in the beginning. So if you're fucking up, it gives you enough warning that you're fucking up.
That's
and
good.
Gives you some time to figure it out. It did take me a while to get a grasp on the waypoint system, though, because there are crystals. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice.
Good.
There are talking about Drake Hollow. It's worth it. There are crystals scattered across the world that are like on big ass totem poles, and you can connect the waypoints. And this has two benefits. You can connect waypoints to each other to transfer supplies. So let's say you're on an island that's maybe three or four islands away from camp, but there are waypoints on each of those islands, and the island you're on has a truck that has scrap metal in it. Okay?
Okay.
You can connect a waypoint to the scrap metal truck, and it will teleport that scrap metal through your waypoints that are all connected together back to camp for you.
Hmm.
So that saves you from having to go out, fill up your backpack and go, ah, shit, my backpack's full. Can't even take all the good stuff I found. The other benefit of this is that you can ride the line from waypoint to waypoint to waypoint to waypoint. So you are basically setting up your fast travel system in a way that's most efficient and most ideal for you. So when you ride the waypoint lines, what it looks like is like you're grinding a rail on a skateboard.
That's cool.
You literally just climb up the pole, hop on the line, you can lean, you can brake, you can accelerate, you can reverse, and you just go as far as you want. If you want to get off of the line and stop on an island, you hop off. That's it. You're done. Just press A, jump off. There you are. If you want to hop back on, press A twice. Shoom, there you go again. Bye. Go wherever you want. The game doesn't tell you how to set that up, though. That's one of those things that I was just like, I had played a lot, and I was like, how am I supposed to get all this shit back every time? And then it dawned on me when I found the truck, what I was supposed to be doing was connecting the waypoints, and I was like, well, I'm dumb. The extra benefit to being able to connect those waypoints like that, too, is that the waypoints go over the ether. So crafting those little crystals to get you through the ether, once you set up a waypoint, you don't have to worry about wasting your crystals to get to that island again. You can just hit the waypoint and go. So it you know, makes it easier for you to keep going farther and farther and exploring more. Yeah, beautiful game. Wild juxtaposition of being both super creepy and super adorable. And I'm 100% in for it. I love it. And I, July 17th, can't get here fast enough.
What kind of feedback would you give them now that if they're listening, what would you tell them to do?
Molasses Flood, if you listen to me about anything ever. And they follow me on Twitter, so I'm going to post this on Twitter too, just to make sure they have a chance to hear me out here. Okay. Swap the menu and the pause. Okay. So, in order to bring up, look, I'm old school, and to me, it's back and select or start and select, right?
Yeah.
So, the button that's on the right side of the controller, that's the one I want to push to bring up the menu and pause the game. The one that's on the left side should give me my map and any other options that want to be tied to that screen.
Yeah. That's common sense.
They're reversed.
What?
In Drake Hollow. I don't know why, but I almost lost my whole fucking camp because I thought I had paused the game.
Wow.
And I walked away to go cook dinner, and I come back, and
damn.
All of my stuff that I had worked so hard for was gone. And I had my little drakes were dying of thirst because the monsters had come in a raid, because the raids happen. You get plenty of warning when the raids are going to happen, but if you've walked away to cook dinner and you hit the wrong pause button, get fucked, okay? And the first thing they went for was they crushed my poor little drake's beds, and they crushed my poor little drake's well.
Aww.
They left the cabbage plant for some fucking reason. I guess even the monsters don't like cabbage. But they crushed everything else, and I was so sad.
Oh, man. All right. Well, overall, is this something we should keep our eyes on?
Yes. If you enjoy any kind of action adventure that you can play along with friends, then you're going to have a good time, and you should be looking forward to it.
All right, moving on. We've got a little bit of a mini party cast going on. Cole, are you excited?
I do not feel as if it is party time.
No?
This is not party cast day. These are imposters. I want a refund for my cover fee.
Unfortunately, there is no refund, but there is Jacob Garner. Jacob, how are you doing?
I was good up until Cole started talking.
Yeah.
That's because you're jealous that you can't have this voice. You're like, man, I give anything sound as awesome as Cole. And she's just got the voice that the gods weep for.
So are you the one that's high on this episode?
I'm high every goddamn episode. Have we not learned this yet?
Yes, as you could tell, Aki is here too. Dark Mika, Aki, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. And
closer to Mike.
Crazy.
You gotta make kissy faces with the mic.
Yeah,
No, I'm not that drunk.
You can't
sit
back here like this.
You have to be like your two favorite characters that you ship in your visual novel porn. And then like,
you're making me blush. That's enough.
So get closer to the mic.
I'm thinking about it.
Smoochy face.
Get closer to the mic. Now farther away. Farther. Closer. Farther.
Oh.
That's a little too close, but we like it.
Anyway, that's not all. Making her first appearance on the show, Serlina, how are you doing?
I speak. I breathe. I live.
Yes, you were not just text this episode.
Yeah. Are you sure? Serlina sounds a lot like me, but without the redneck.
Oh, it's in there somewhere. It's just hidden very, very deeply in my subconscious.
Wait, hold on. We gotta test this out. Say white truck.
White truck.
No, see, you ain't got no redneck. You're all right. You ain't
passed
the test.
I better not be no redneck. Otherwise, my grandmama would be like, that's not the right color. But I wanted to mention something. Jacob, I do recall few podcasts ago, you expressed interest in meeting me. So hello, Jacob. Now, I don't hate you yet, but there is still time and opportunity for it.
Fantastic. I will exceed all expectations in that area.
No, you won't.
We can get these two lovers.
No. It's the only area where I'll meet expectations. That's pretty much it. Everything else is pretty much a letdown. So,
Yeah, I can agree.
Yeah.
And there goes 84 ounces of liquid today. Fuck.
Did you just pee or something?
No. Just really thirsty. I mean, dehydrated like crazy for no reason.
Oh my god, it's been so ridiculously humid here, and I've just been sweating out everything that I put into my body, which
that sounds
is
hot.
A good thing and a bad thing. So
it's like Niagara Falls down my ass crack.
It's a swamp back there.
No, it smells like swamp ass because it is swamp ass.
True.
There'd be some crawfish in them swamp.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to have you malign crawfish, all right? That's not going to happen on a surly, occupied podcast.
I don't know why you're adding me into that. I've never had crawfish.
Never?
Up here never. We call it crawdads.
I mean, they call them crawdads back home, too, but that just feels a little weird. It's always been crawfish. And I will be more than happy to give you a crawfish pasta recipe, Mika. It's so, so easy to make, I promise.
I love a good recipe.
The closest I've had is shrimp.
Don't give Jacob any recipes with rice, though.
No,
God. No rice. It's pasta, not rice. Yes.
Like, you're just afraid that I'll throw it at you.
Because no, Jacob throws rice.
Yeah, well,
what's wrong with you? Rice is good.
That's an overcooked joke. That's a long-running overcooked joke, Aki. Do you not listen to the show that you're on?
You don't fucking listen.
Do you want the truth or do you want a lie?
I mean, you're in chat most weeks, so I figure you're at least somewhat listening.
Well,
to like the introduction, background probably. Noise
generally. Yeah.
Crazy Cool in chat says yum crawfish.
See, Crazy Cool knows the deal. He knows what's up. Or she, it, person. She knows what's up.
It could be a very savvy dog.
Sir or madam, as the case may be.
To whom it may concern, as per my previous email.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, we have some reviews to do. Are y'all ready to do these? Tough shit. Next game to talk about tonight is called Aqua Lungers, developed and published by Warped Core Studio. It released May 21st on the Switch for $14.99. When treasure is at stake, there are no heroes. Race your way through challenging stages while contending with deadly creatures and dastardly opponents to collect the most treasure. Serlina, tell us about this one.
Yes, so I did review this one on my lovely and plain Nintendo Switch. All right, so in Aqua Lungers, you play.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Lungers or Lungers.
I think it's just Lungers, but that sounds
because Aqua Lung, but you're lunging. So
it sounds like the name of a band.
Aqua Lung, it's a song.
Oh, that's it.
I mean, all right, y'all just made my brain freeze for a second, but whatever. Moving on. Okay, so you play basically as a diver. And you have to jump into the water and get the treasure and bring it back up, right? Super simple, super easy. That's literally all it is to the fucking game. There are enemies, or as I like to say, baddies to beat. And each level has different types of baddies. Like the first baddie was like piranha fish, and the second level it was like turtles that breathe fire for some strange reason. I don't understand the correlation there, but whatever, so on and so forth. You can play the game with others, and it's meant to be played with other people, up to four, and there is local co-op with the Joy-Cons. So, you know, if you got somebody sitting next to you, just unplug the motherfuckers and go for it, right? You can also customize the color of your diver. And I like the little diver suits because it's very like 1950s, 1960s diver suits. Do y'all know what I'm talking about there? So that looked cool. You know, big old copper head helmet. And, you know, the rest is like a cloth suit. So think like Big Daddies and Big Sisters from Bioshock, like that whole aesthetic. So that was pretty cool. The game itself is, again, super simple, infuriatingly so. You have to dive, like I said, to get the treasure. There's shipwrecked ships. That you hit with your little spear or javelin or harpoon. There we go, harpoon, because you're underwater.
Makes sense.
To collect the gold, and you have to bring the gold back up to your treasure chest and deposit it. First one to 3,000 points wins the match. So we'll start with the first level. There's piranha, like I said, but every level has a really big bad that you can't actually kill. But they can kill you in one hit. You can stun them for a little bit, but that's about it. And there's like three levels and then a boss level, and then you're on to the next world. I hated those bosses. I hated everything about them. I hated their character design. I hated their cheapness. So The first world is there are two cliffs where you as the diver chill out and your treasure chest is there to deposit your gold. And underneath the cliffs is the water. you can take out the piranhas pretty easily, two, maybe three swipes. The big fish, and the only way that I can describe it is like, it's purple. It's like a Mind Flayer sperm looking type of thing.
Well, I'm interested.
Of course you are.
It has tentacles and it shoots.
Tentacles, Aki? Like,
it shoots like bubbles.
Are we discussing the same game now?
That make you explode. And it's just not cute. It's just not cute. So what the fucking thing would do is, it has like a proximity. So if you got too close to it, it would be like, what are you doing in my water? And you're like, nothing. So you have to swim to get out, right? But it could also jump out of the water and chase you for a little bit. So you either had to hit it enough to stun it and it would go back into the water, or you would die.
Fun.
In the second level, you have a turtle. So the first level is like lush, verdant green. Okay, cool. Second level is a desert. The turtle shot fire at you, and it also bit you. It had three fucking attacks. So it shot one fireball at you, then it did like a fan fireball, like fucking shmup style, or it bit you. And all of these attacks by the biggie baddie is like one shot, one kill. And it was
always
just,
fun.
It was just so just annoying for something that is really simplistic, or rather the objective being simplistic. So yeah, I guess that's how I feel about it. You said it's for $14.99.
Yep, no. $14.99. What is your verdict? Buy it, try it, deny it. What do you think?
No.
No.
No. No. No.
No.
No.
What could they do to improve the experience?
Okay, so they have these little special power-ups that you can get, but the only one that was really effective is the dynamite, because the dynamite stuns instantly. Of course, you can kill yourself in the dynamite too, so that's pretty
obviously
fun.
Yeah,
that's the right way to do it.
And the dynamite also blows up the ships, so you get like immediate gold, but the ship, if you blow it up, it never respawns. So if you only have access to two ships and you blow one up, you now have access to one ship for the rest of the level until you get 3,000 points. Plus, like I said, it is meant to be played with more people. Yeah. Because you are able to, like the little baddies, well, the big bad does it too, but you know, when the big bad chunks you, you're cursing and not really worrying about the gold that you dropped. But the small baddies can hit you and make you drop gold, which if you're playing with other people, you can hit them and knock out their gold and take it and deposit it into your own treasure chest. So, but what can they do to make it better? I'm telling you, those big baddies are cheap as balls. Listen, okay, the second level is a turtle, right? You're in a desert. There's not a whole ton of water, but the water also leads to like a platform where your treasure is. So I would kill the small baddies and they were dropping gold. I'm like, fuck yeah, gold. But I couldn't deposit it because the big turtle was in the water area patrolling the fucking treasure chest. Oh, and do not, I don't mean to neglect mentioning this, but the controls on it is ridiculous. Now, I know that I have a little bit of drift on my Joy-Cons, but the way that the diver moves when he's out of water is the same way that he moves when he's in the water, which means he's got a little like wiggle to him. So when I'm trying to literally climb up the ladder to get to the treasure chest to drop off my shit, he would wiggle off the ladder all the time. And I'm just like, really, though? Okay. So it's going to be like this. So yeah, I did not have a good time.
That's a bummer to hear.
It is, because I was kind of excited. I remember when you were like, hey, you want to try this game? I'm like, fuck yeah. But It is what it is.
You were excited about this one, but hey, they can't all be winners. If the devs do some updates and patches and tinker with it, we could always take another look at it, but oh well.
Just get rid of the wiggle, stop making the bosses so hard, and I would probably say try it. But at that price point and the difficulty, nah, skip it.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Many Faces Console Edition, developed by Wanzun Dev and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released May 27th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. Make the Many Face King pay for waking you from your beauty sleep. Many Faces is a multi-directional shooter inspired by arcade classics, combining single-screen action with randomized stages that will constantly keep you on your toes. Customize your character's weapon and abilities as you go, further guaranteeing that no two runs will ever be the same. Jacob, tell us about Many Faces.
That description is pretty apt. You're this little dude running around on the screen, and you have a gun, and you can pick up these hats which give you different powers. Like, one might be like, oh, well, your gun now fires like a ton, and you get extra health like whenever you kill somebody. Or like the bullets are curved now, and
I had one that turned my gun into a banana.
I didn't get that one.
Banana.
Yeah, all the bullets were bananas. It would hit a wall, and then it would split into three more bananas and ricochet backwards.
Do they split into bananas?
No. It was just 1 to 3, and then that was.
I mean, it would be pretty fun if your whole screen just suddenly filled up with bananas.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But anyway. No, I didn't get anything like that. As it says, it's single screen. You have to move up different platforms to kill all these different ghost faces or faces or ghosts. I think they're just called faces. I don't know. They just pop out of nowhere. You kill everything on a level, and then you get sucked up into this huge rainbow thing. A treasure chest drops. You have to open it up. It awards you a new hat, which you can decide to take or not. But you have to be really quick about that. And then this rainbow sucks you up and, fires you into the next stage. And occasionally you have to kill bosses.
Yeah, so, I think every 4 stages is a boss.
Probably, I think. Thereabouts. Every 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But, all in all, it's a pretty easy game. Like, even I managed to not totally suck at it.
We should get it out of the way. This is going to be one of those games that achievement hunters are going to love. I got my 1,000 achievement points in 10 minutes.
I think I'm at, 800... I think I'm at, 870. And, yeah, that was after, 10 or 15 minutes of playing.
Yeah.
So, for achievement hunters, yeah, this is an easy... definitely, so you can get your 1,000 points and be done with it kind of thing. The gameplay, it's pretty simplistic. And I did enjoy the fact that it doesn't automatically kill you as you try to figure out what's going on in each level. I had one level where lasers would randomly shoot up from the ground. And at first I didn't know what was actually going on in the level because I figured nothing was happening because it took forever. And then it only took off half of a heart. So I appreciate that instead of just being cheap and doing insta kills.
Yeah. The game is fairly forgiving. Hearts drop fairly frequently as well.
Yeah. It's a pretty fun game. All in all. I mean, as I said, it's not flashy by any means. It will not be game of the year material, but for $5, I was pretty pleased with it, to be honest. This is what I'm actually going to be leaving on my Xbox. There's plenty of games that I review on this show that as soon as the recording's done, I'm just clearing up. Yeah. I'm going to clear up some space. Yeah, not with this one. On the plus side, I think it only takes up 239 megs, so...
Yeah, it's a tiny game.
Yeah. So, even then, I wouldn't really need to delete it, but, it's pretty fun. There's really not much to it, but...
Yeah, it's a fairly simple, straightforward game. Easy achievements, like we said. $5 on this one. What's your verdict?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun game, easy to learn, easy to pick up, and it's easy to return to. Like, obviously, there's not going to be anything that you have to, like, majorly relearn with this game. And even if you did forget, there's a tutorial that you can just access at any time. And that's honestly your first, like, 80 points anyway.
Yeah. So. Yes, they are very generous with the achievement points in this game, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, all right, final game to talk about tonight is called Sludge Life, developed by Terry Velman and Dose One, published by Devolver Digital, released May 28th on Epic Game Store for $14.99, but is free for the first year. And Serlina, what's going on with your headset? You're really crackly.
Oh, am I? My bad.
Yeah. There we go. I don't know what that was. Anyway, roam a tiny island stuck on a sludge-covered planet as an upcoming tagger ghost set on staking their claim amongst the graffiti elite, traverse the corporately branded landscape, chat up other taggers, and discover secrets and idiots along the way. Will you become the king of the island and tag every open inch, infiltrate sludge-pumping corporation glug to find a way out, or just take it all down in flames with you? Aki, tell us about this one.
Okay. One... You play as someone named Ghost. They're not actually a ghost. That would have made it cooler. Just to put that out there. That would have been so much more cool. The area is called Sludge. It's basically a giant area filled with fucking oil because there's a giant oil leak and no one seems to care about patching this tankard that's just constantly pouring oil out. Pouring out of areas all over the place, but no one's like, oh, let's just slap another piece of, let's stop the oil, slap some metal on it, get it all fixed, and then clean this bitch. Now they're just like, yeah, we'll live in muck forever, because why not? Fuck it.
YOLO.
Yeah, everyone there is fucking miserable. No one fucking likes it. Like, in the entire game, everyone who's working is on strike. Everybody. Everyone you come across, they're like, nah, I'm on strike. Fuck you. Go away. There's even some security personnel who are like, you know, I'd throw you out of here, but I'm on strike and I don't give a fuck because I hate my job. So do whatever. There's even another one of you on the roof. Whatever. Just leave me alone. Hell, I'll give you some of my cigarettes. Just piss off. I'm like, okay, cool. And you smoke in the games. So that's something. You also eat banana slugs, and I don't mean like when they're cooked or anything. I mean when they're crawling around, your character just picks them up and eats them.
Why?
I don't know. Because you don't get anything for Okay, you have a computer with you at all times, and you load up programs on it. There's six of them that you need to find in the world. One of them is a to-do list, and it tells you to eat 20 of them just to have that checked off in one session, i.e. without turning the game off. That's it. It's not like it increases your health or anything. He's just a fucking disgusting cretin who eats living animals after pulling them off of various things.
Interesting.
He's just fucking disgusting. The entirety of the game is walking around and finding a spot that shows a little blue spray can, which you can see from a distance easily, and clicking to tag it. There's 100 of them. That's the entire game.
Damn.
There's not much to it. I did all 100 of the tags possible in the game. And you get 3 different endings. One of them is tied to tagging all 100 of them. The other two are not. The other two you can get whenever the fuck you want, really. there's not really much to it. There's no danger. I mean, you can fall to your death, but then you just revive with money taken from you, but you start off with 0 money and you can't make any money, so the money thing, it doesn't fucking matter at all. Like, matter of fact, that's one of the apps you find, is something that tells you about how much money you have. Except for, you don't buy anything in the game ever. There's nothing to buy in the game. There, you know, there's no way to make money in the game. That number is meaningless.
Weird. It seems like this is just one of those really weird oddball titles. I'm looking at the features on the Epic Store, and like the features are experience the thrills of vandalism from the safety of your computer. Curiosity and free will are your only motivators. Roll as you please. It mentions that you could download apps to your laptop and waste your life away playing a game in a game. There's a dedicated fart button.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there is. They say dedicated fart button, but it's also a flip button. If you're jumping in the air, he flips. If you're standing on the ground, he farts.
Dedicated fart button.
Yeah. And you can also climb to the top of a building and piss off it automatically.
Nice. And apparently there's a cat with two buttholes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
You don't talk to it or anything. It just happens to be there. And you can look at its butthole if you really want to.
I was looking on the Sludge Life website, and they're actually going to be producing figures of the double buttholed cat. I'm curious to know how much those will cost.
Why are people still allowed to exist?
Joe, are you going to be buying the double buttholed cat?
Probably. He might.
You are why we can't have nice things, Jeff.
I know. Jesus. Well, as a free-to-play game for the first year, it's absolutely free to download and play. What do you think of this game? Is it worth checking out?
Since it's free, fuck it. You might as well. You can spend it's a good way to waste a couple hours. If you like the artsy-fartsy visual style that they have, you might like it. But it's just one of those weird nothing-type games because there's no story. There's no nothing to it. It's a nothing game. And some people like those as good time wasters. If you like the artsy fartsy nothing games, this will be right up your alley. Cause it wasn't like, I didn't hate it, but there wasn't really anything there to like particularly either. No. So it was just like, I'm playing it and that's all I have for that. Like, it wasn't like I was sitting there, fucking hate this, and I've done that with some of the games that I've reviewed on here, and I've stated that for those. This one was just like, yeah, I'm doing this. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that was kind of cool. Okay, whatever. That's what this game is in a nutshell. Yeah, whatever. It's all fine, whatever.
It's free, so you might as well try it, right?
Yeah, and you can beat it in a couple hours. You can beat the entire thing in a couple hours, easily.
Cool, sounds good. Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. It's been a long one.
We did it.
Thanks, everyone, for being here, coming on, chatting with us, hanging out. Thanks again to Solomon for coming on from Busy Toaster, chatting about GeoRifters with us. That is available now on Xbox One for $29.99. You could pick that up. I can't remember if it's on Switch or PS4. It might be coming. It might be on the way. I don't remember for sure, but it's on Xbox for $30. So you could check it out. Who wants final words? Don't all speak at once.